This is Wonderland Part 3. Mavis had been told about a gazillion times that she must not go inside the Tullys' house unless she was invited. Just because I'm in there making potato salad to put in a sterling silver bowl doesn't mean you have a free admission ticket, her mother said. Then she mumbled something about crystal goblets she had to wash by hand, and linen napkins she had to iron, and then added, "Well, la-di-da is what I think about that." She examined herself in the mirror on the closet door, patting her hair and then tying the apron Mrs. Tully had given her around her waist. "So," she said, turning to Mavis, "please don't do anything to make the woman any more irritable than she already is. We've only been here 2 days, and clearly the honeymoon is over." Mavis shrugged and headed outside, where Rose was waiting at the bottom of the apartment step. "Where should we go?" Mavis asked. They were having their first club meeting today to talk about how to cheer up Mr. Duffy. "I know a good spot," Rose said. Mavis followed her through the hydrangea garden, up the flagstone path along the side of the house, and down the winding driveway and across the street to a vacant lot. "Build your dream house here," read the sign in the middle of the lot. Beyond that, at the edge of the woods, a large pine tree had fallen. Rose sat on the tree trunk and said, "Is this a good place for a club meeting?" Mavis looked around. Clumps of blackberry bushes and wildflowers were peppered among the weeds and large patches of dry red dirt. Not the best place for a club meeting, but maybe she should find something better later. "I guess so," she said. And then she sat on the log next to Rose and said, "I'll be president and you be vice president." Rose nodded. Then they talked about things they could do for Mr. Duffy. Decorate the gatehouse with crepe paper streamers. Make cupcakes and sprinkles. Twirl batons. "What are y'all doing?" Mavis looked up to see a girl with hair the color of cantaloupe skipping toward them. "Nothing," Rose said, crossing her arms and turning red in the face. "Who are you?" Mavis asked the girl. "Amanda Sim." The girl tossed her cantaloupe hair over her shoulder and repeated, "What are y'all doing?" "Nothing," Rose said again. "Having a club meeting," Mavis said. "What kind of club?" "A best friends club. Want to join?" And then she felt the sharp jab of Rose's elbow in her side. Amanda's eyebrows arched up. "Do you live in Magnolia Estates?" she asked, plopping down on the tree trunk next to Mavis. Her skin was pale and covered with freckles, as if someone had sprinkled cinnamon on her. Mavis told Amanda about the little apartment over Rose's garage and that she had moved in 2 days ago. "And y'all are already best friends?" "Yep," Mavis said. "Right, Rose?" Rose nodded. "Want to join our club?" Mavis asked Amanda again. Then she felt another sharp jab of Rose's elbow in her side. "No thanks," Amanda said. "Why not?" Then this freckled girl named Amanda told Mavis about the friends she had, girls who lived in the big houses in the Magnolia Estates and took gymnastics lessons and were on the swim team. She showed Mavis her beaded bracelet she had made at a sleepover the night before and told her about the tennis camp she was going to later in the summer. "All the girls in Magnolia Estates are going," she said. And then she glanced over at Rose and added, "Well, almost all." Mavis felt a twinge of envy. She had been so happy to have one friend. Imagine having as many as Amanda did. Maybe if her mother would stay in Landry long enough, she could. "What do you even do in your club anyway?" Amanda asked. "Well, right now we're trying to think of ways to cheer up Mr. Duffy," Mavis said. "Right, Rose?" Amanda rolled her eyes. "Oh, brother," she said, "he's crazy." Suddenly, Rose jumped up, stalked over the vacant lot, and marched up the road toward her house, leaving Mavis staring gape-mouthed after her on the log beside Amanda. Rose was not one to get mad very often, especially at her best friend. Not that she ever really had a best friend, besides Ida Scoggins. And she had never gotten mad at Ida Scoggins. But now she was mad at Mavis for asking Amanda to join their club yesterday. She was also mad at Amanda for saying that mean thing about Mr. Duffy. Rose's anger made her feel hot, heavy, and dark and bad. Yesterday, Mavis had been her best friend, and now she was someone who wanted Amanda Sim to be their best friend in their best friend club. Why would Mavis want that? It was true that Mavis didn't know about Amanda sticking gum in Rose's hair at church one time on purpose, and she didn't know that Amanda had told some kids at school that Rose used to wet the bed. Mavis didn't know that she and Amanda used to be friends, but now Amanda and those other girls whispered to one another right in front of her. But then, maybe Mavis didn't really care about the club as much as Rose had thought she did. Maybe Mavis would rather go to the mall with Amanda. Well, that was fine. Rose would stay up here in her bedroom. She arranged her books in alphabetical order by author. She cut pictures of dogs out of magazines and glued them into a spiral notebook. She drew a hummingbird on her wrist with a pen and then tried to wipe it off, leaving a big blue smudge. Once or twice, she went to the window and pressed her face against the glass to see if Mavis was in the yard. She tried to see the vacant lot across the street, but the roof of the front porch was in the way. She heard the steady hum of the vacuum cleaner downstairs. Rose jumped when her mother stepped into her room and said, "For heaven's sakes, Rose, what are you doing up here?" "Nothing." "Then you find something to do. Miss Jeter needs to get in here." "There isn't anything to do," Rose said. The very instant that those words came out of her mouth, Rose wanted to take them back, gather them up like butterflies in a net. But it was too late. Now her mother was telling her all the things there were to do, starting with playing with Amanda Sim and ending with going up the street to see the new garden made by the Junior Garden Club. Rose plodded downstairs and out the front door. When she stepped out of the air-conditioned foyer and onto the porch, the Alabama heat felt thick and heavy. She gave Pete and Larry each a pat on the head and made her way slowly to the end of the driveway. She needed to talk to Mr. Duffy. But how was she going to get past the vacant lot where Mavis and Amanda were probably having a best friend's club meeting? Or maybe they were doing gymnastics in Amanda's front yard with some other girls from Magnolia Estates. And even if she made it to the gatehouse without them seeing her, Mr. Duffy might not feel like talking to her. He might not say, "Hey, Rose Petal, what's shaking, bacon?" He might not give her butterscotch lifesavers or make her another funny story about how he lost the tip of his finger or any of the other things he always did that made her feel better no matter what. Rose went back to the front porch and sat on the steps between Pete and Larry. She rested her chin on her knees and closed her eyes and let misery snuggle up beside her. She knew what her mother would say if she saw her sitting here. "Stop moping, Rose," she would say. But Rose didn't care. She moped. And while she moped, a dragonfly flitted among the flowers in the garden beside the screen porch. The neighbor's fat, grumpy cat sauntered across the lawn. And from somewhere in the woods behind the house, across the street, came the loud and mournful howl of a dog. Henry. Somewhere in the woods, someone reached a freckled arm through a wrought iron fence. The dog backed away, his heart racing. Then that same someone whispered to him, soothing words that made his racing heart settle down. The whisper was calling him Henry, a name the dog had never heard before. trying to coax him out of the bushes, telling him everything would be okay. But when that whispering someone reached toward the bushes and tried to touch him, he turned and ran deeper into the woods. Mavis. When Rose had jumped off the log and stormed away up the street, not even stopping when Mavis called her name, Amanda had laughed. She told Mavis that Rose acted like a baby and wouldn't go to sleepovers. She told her that Mr. Duffy couldn't remember anybody's name and fell asleep in the gatehouse, and lots of people in Magnolia Estates were not very happy about that. Then Amanda had disappeared up the side road, leaving Mavis sitting alone on the tree trunk. That night, Mavis sat in the little apartment over the garage, feeling sorry for herself, while her mother complained about having to wash and iron the curtains. "Who in the world even does that?" her mother said, rummaging through her purse for another piece of gum. Mavis wanted to tell her mother how bad she was feeling about Rose, but she didn't. Her mother was liable to say something mean about Rose, so she just sat there feeling sorrier by the minute. She'd only been in Landry for 3 days, and already her new best friend was mad at her. The next day, Mavis fixed herself half a peanut butter jelly sandwich and ran down the apartment steps and around front, where Rose was sitting on the porch between the concrete lions. "Hey," she called to Rose. Rose stared at the ground and mumbled a very quiet, "Hey." Mavis ran over and sat on the porch next to her. "Want some of my sandwich?" she asked. Rose looked a little surprised and shrugged. "What's the matter?" Mavis said. "How come you left the club meeting?" Rose brushed something invisible off her shorts and shrugged again. "Because of Amanda, right?" Mavis said. "Maybe." Mavis flapped a hand at her. "She can't be in our club." Rose's head shot up. "She can't?" "Nope." "How come?" "Because she's mean." Rose perked up. "Really?" Mavis nodded. "She said mean things about you and Mr. Duffy after you left." "She did?" Rose's shoulders slumped. Mavis's mind raced. Maybe she shouldn't have said that. "Let's go fix some lunch for Mr. Duffy," she said. "Come on." Then she ran off up the flagstone path along the side of the house and through the hydrangea garden and up the Tully's back steps and right on into the kitchen with Rose running behind her. When Mavis burst into the kitchen, her mother looked up from the butcher block island with shiny copper pots hanging above it. "Mavis," she said, "what in the world?" She had been chopping boiled eggs, and now she began to rant at Mavis about the rules she had already forgotten while she waved the knife around in the air, sending pieces of egg flying in every direction. "We're going to take lunch up to Mr. Duffy," Mavis said. "No, ma'am," her mother said, "you are not." Mavis stomped her feet and was prepared to go on a tirade when Mrs. Tully walked into the kitchen. When she saw Mavis, she said, "Oh, my, well." "She was just leaving," Miss Jeter said, glaring at Mavis. "When will the egg salad be ready?" Mrs. Tully asked. "I have guests coming any minute now." Then she turned to Mavis and said, "Rose needs to have her lunch now." Then a most surprising thing happened. Rose lifted her chin and said, "Mavis and I are taking lunch to Mr. Duffy." But then she added a quick, "Okay?" Mavis watched in delight as Rose didn't wait for an answer. She scurried around the kitchen grabbing bread and cheese and chips while her mother's face turned red and with disapproval. Mavis's mother went back to chopping egg salad, slamming the knife hard against the butcher block. Bang, bang, bang. Then Rose and Mavis gathered everything into a grocery bag and hurried out the door. Rose. When they got to the greenhouse, Mr. Duffy, I always say greenhouse, but it's not greenhouse, it's gatehouse. When they got to the gatehouse, Mr. Duffy was in his desk chair, snoring away. Rose tapped him lightly on the shoulder. His eyes popped open and he jumped right out of the chair. "Jupiter, Mars, and Pluto, Rose," he said, clutching his heart. You're going to scare me right into my grave. Rose felt her cheeks burn, and she looked down at Mr. Duffy's scuffed up brown shoes. Sorry, she said. Then she held up the grocery bag. We figured you could use some lunch. Maybe we'll have a picnic outside. Mr. Duffy glanced toward the gatehouse door, where a little summer breeze rustled the leaves of a mimosa tree. Then he sank back into the desk chair. Well, that's darn nice of y'all, he said, but I better stay in here. I got myself into some hot water the other day when I stepped outside for one gall darn minute and didn't hear Mrs. Larson's sister buzzing away on that dang buzzer. He took his cap off and rubbed a hand over the top of his bald head. Besides, he added, I don't have much of an appetite these days. Rose's heart sank. Mr. Duffy always had an appetite. She had seen him eat a whole jar of bread and butter pickles, followed by a meatloaf sandwich and banana pudding, and then still eat the leftover hush puppies she had brought him. When her mother had ladies over for lunch, Rose often gathered cucumber sandwich and little tea cakes and sugary violets on top from her mother. Then she would laugh and laugh when Mr. Duffy pretended he was Reynolds J. Snootbottom III, mayor of the world, popping them into his mouth one by one and holding his pinky in the air when he drank tea from an invisible cup. Then we'll just eat ours in here, Mavis said, opening the grocery bag. But as she was about to reach inside, she suddenly pointed at some fishing gear propped in the corner of the gatehouse and said, Hey, Mr. Tufty, you going fishing? Rose was surprised when she saw the fishing gear. Mr. Duffy lived in a trailer beside a lake on the other side of town. Nearly every day he and Queenie had gone fishing. He almost never caught anything, but he always seemed to enjoy it. Why was his fishing gear here? Mr. Duffy looked sadly at the poles and tackle box and said, Nah, I'm lending them to Fergus Mason for a while. He's coming to pick them up when he gets off work. That meant Mr. Duffy wasn't fishing. Definitely not a good sign. Rose thought and thought. What was something he might like to do? Suddenly, she remembered a game they used to play on rainy days. Want to play the bottle cap game? She said, hurrying to the shelf over the desk and taking down a shoebox full of bottle caps. Mr. Duffy had painted a circle on the floor on one side of the gatehouse and taught her how to play a game tossing bottle caps into the circle from the other side of the room. They had played about a million times, and Mr. Duffy had made a trophy out of tin cans and duct tape and told her she was the champion, even though she wasn't very good at it. You teach Mavis how to play, Mr. Duffy said. I'll watch. Rose didn't like that idea much, but she explained the game to Mavis, who dashed over to get the bottle caps and began tossing them toward the circle. I'll be good at this game, she said. Sure enough, nearly every bottle cap landed inside the circle. Want to keep score? Rose asked Mr. Duffy, but he shook his head and said, Nah. So Rose and Mavis played while he stared forlornly out the window, looking like he was a million miles away. Every once in a while, a car needed to be let in, and Mr. Duffy checked his clipboard to see if it was okay for him to open the gate. If the residents of a Magnolia Estates were expecting visitors, they called Mr. Duffy and had him put the visitor's name on a list on his clipboard. Just about the time that Rose and Mavis were getting tired of playing the bottle cap game, a big fancy car with three ladies inside pulled up to the gatehouse. The lady driver rolled down the window and said, Inez Latham and party to see Charlotte Prescott. Mr. Duffy put on his reading glasses and squinted down at the clipboard. Sorry, he said, not on the list. And then a big hullabaloo started. The ladies got mad, and Mr. Duffy phoned Charlotte Prescott. and the ladies in the car were saying how ridiculous this was, and did they look like burglars? Rose couldn't hear Mrs. Prescott right through the telephone from clear on the other side of the gatehouse. I did give you those names. I told you about the bridal shower. For heaven's sakes, Mr. Duffy. All the while, Mr. Duffy nodded and said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, sorry, ma'am. And then he opened the gate, and after one last mumble of outrageous, Inez Latham drove into Magnolia Estates. Mr. Duffy shook his head. I'm losing my mojo, y'all, he said. What's mojo? Rosie asked. It means like your charm, right, Mr. Duffy? Mavis piped in. My mom used to use it to get guys to move furniture and stuff. I'm using my mojo, May-May, she'd say. Mr. Duffy chuckled, and Rose's heart lifted a little. That was a start, wasn't it? A chuckle? But then everything changed when Mavis snapped her fingers and said, I know what you need. You need to get yourself another dog. I hope he gets himself another dog, don't you? Night, girls. Love you.